Blog Talk Radio.
Huh? Trevor Basso and Mr. Ty Basso competed in their first age group weightlifting contest today, and both did super, absolutely super. In fact, Brady, could you put Ty on for a minute? Brady? Brady gets so excited sometimes he hangs the phone up.
Well, congratulations to the Basso clan, definitely.
Yeah, they did a great job. I'm going to bring them right in on. Yeah, the Trevor clean and jerked 136 and Ty was around 125.
Oh, wow. Good.
Now you gotta understand Trevor's 14 and Ty is 13 and Ty is only about 5 foot even. Trevor, of course, is 6'2".
He's 6'2"?
You have reached 9417238.
Okay, we'll have to wait till they call us back in. But yeah, they both did a fantastic job, and Mom and Pop-Up are extremely proud.
You know, my mom and Pop-Up have some very talented, multi-talented kids.
We do. Both our children and our grandchildren have been you know, we could live our lives through them.
Isn't that how it usually goes, though? I believe the word is vicariously. So.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's it. So I guess we got the Paulie Malignaggi's coming out of retirement again tonight, huh?
Well, I mean, he's actually supposedly retired after the Sean Porter debacle, but he's been fighting ever since. He's been fighting mainly in Europe. You know, because he always said he wanted to fight in Italy. You know, he's Italian, and so you know he's continuing fighting that what the English like to call domestic level competition, and he's doing so again tonight. But yeah. So it's good to see Paulie back in the ring, and he's been pretty consistent lately, staying at a certain level of competition. I think he kind of knows where he belongs in the sport, and you know, he likes to stay active.
Yeah, it's a good draw. Paulie right now is still a good draw. Name credibility and to a certain level, skill credibility. As Ty said, to a certain level of competition. Paulie's going to be around for a little bit longer. But it is good to see him get back in the ring. I like him commentating. I really do like him commentating.
You know, Paulie also seems realistic about where he's at in the game at this point and what level of competition he should be fighting. So I think he should be commended for that. You know, he's not calling out the Keith Thurmans or, you know, or the big fighters of the world. You know what I mean? I think he's very realistic as to where he belongs in the sport of boxing at the point.
And to a certain level, Paulie, I don't know his financial situation, but he seems pretty good at money.
Yeah.
I know he's consistently making money because he's continually announcing. So that shows me that he still enjoys the competition of fighting.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, you talk about, like, for instance, Roy Jones. I don't know if you noticed he has a fight scheduled for next month. And it's, I guess, a certain level of competition. But when guys really enjoy doing something, if it's not dangerous to them, I don't think it's fair to pull them out. Roy Jones, everybody screams about how many times he's been knocked out, but the guy he's fighting is like 21 and 16. So it gets a certain level of competition. He could continue his career on merrily. Same thing with Paulie. It gets a certain level, a higher level for Paulie, but it gets a certain level of competition. He can continue his career on merrily. I think the cause for concern or the screams of retirement should be held in check until that guy is endangering himself on a constant basis. For Roy Jones, it's when he steps up in class. Paulie, only time he ever really got steamrolled was in the Sean Porter fight, and since then he's realized, you know what, I'm no longer what I used to be, and he's, you know, having fun competing. And I see nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah, another guy that's raising his head after some time off is Roman Chocolito Gonzalez is in the ring tonight again.
Oh, no, that fight's not tonight. That fight is coming up.
Oh,
I believe
Saturday,
it's in September.
Yeah,
and he's moving up to 115. He's got a stiff. This could probably be his toughest fight since Estrada. He's got a stiff challenge in Quadros ahead of him. And he's fighting on – that'll be on the same night that Golovkin's fighting Brooke. They're doing, a split bill doubleheader for that fight. Now, tonight we have who do we have tonight? Oh, God. Santa Cruz. That's what we have tonight. Yeah, that's a huge fight. Huge lighter weight fight.
Absolutely.
Who do you like in that fight, Zita?
I'm going to hold my predictions off for a little bit, but
you're going to hold your predictions off until after the fight by chance? Or?
No, I mean, that would be the best bet, but no. They both have their good qualities. Santa Cruz, he's long for his weight, and he's very, very crafty. Not the fastest guy with of hand or foot, but when he gets his timing down, he's pretty good. He's very good when he gets his timing down. And he's pretty tough and durable, too. Frampton, he's a guy who's a burst guy. He's a burst guy, and he's fast. He's quick, hand and foot. That differs, but they both Frampton will mix it up, too. He'll get in and he'll mix it up. I mean, he's not shy of contact. That's where he might catch his problems with Santa Cruz. If he does that too much, then Santa Cruz is going to end up getting a bead on him. And Santa Cruz is good once he gets a bead on you at sort of breaking you down. He's not the hardest hitter, but he's very, very consistent.
And he's a volume puncher. And I think because he's always been known as a come-forward volume puncher, people sometimes lose the fact that he does have craft. And I think to a certain extent it took the Abner Maris fight where he just wasn't coming forward, throwing a ton of punches. He would step back, counter. And I think that fight made people recognize his craft. We have a very interesting style matchup in this fight tonight, Pat, as you were saying, Z.
Hey, guys, we're joined by Mr. Ty Basso. Ty, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Hey, what's going on, Ty? Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I sent pictures out to everybody. You guys will be getting your pictures shaped. I sent pictures of you doing your lifts to everybody. Now I got to send these two guys when we get off the air. But Ty is not what you call a natural athlete. He's an athlete that works at being very hard at works at being making it look natural. He does not only football, at basketball, or even now weightlifting. There's a lot of people that would give up where Ty looks at it, sees the challenge, and takes that challenge all the time. So, Ty, we want everybody to know how proud we are of you, and hope you continue, buddy.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You're a natural athlete in the mind.
Yes, sir. And you've had some of the finest coaches I could ever be.
So I slipped that in.
Wow.
Okay, buddy, I know
you're
tired.
I thought this was supposed to be about me.
Tell us about how you trained for today's meet.
Well, it was my first meet, and I've only been doing it for like 2 months. But I was Trevor's not available right now. But we were both talking about it. We were so scared because it looked like all the girls could do more than us.
But
yeah, it was actually easy. Yeah, a little nervous at first, but no.
Good.
And this was my first competition, so.
Mm-hmm. Good. And you start football on Monday, right?
Yep.
So
he's still
going to
be
JD.
Doing weightlifting, though.
Weightlifting. Yeah, right. It really is good for your legs. It's good for your body. Ty, do you do any weightlifting at your gym?
Oh, yeah. That's all I do there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, she does group training. But she's a big proponent in lifting for men and women, specifically for older people who don't like lifting as much, just because, you know, once you get over 40, you lose a percent of muscle every year. So she's
sure.
a huge proponent in Olympic-style lifting specifically. So, yeah. So, like, the clean and jerk, I run down and tell her, man, she'll be excited about that. Because, yeah, that's what she trains, and that's what she teaches her people to do.
Good. Mm-hmm. Ty, you want to tell us how all that you had to do today?
Well, it was a lot of practicing. Like, we had a little room that was sort of cut off from everybody else. And everybody that was, like working out at that time, they would be there, and we'd be practicing in there. And this one kid and I were having, like, a see if we could get more weights on.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I had to stop because I was coming up to my clean and jerk soon. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Now, well, I almost got first place, but I was down by 2 kilos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Awesome for your first competition, though, man.
Sure.
Thank you.
And only trained in 2 months? Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Ty, well, we
uh-huh.
appreciate your being on with us. Can we
All right, thank
have
you.
Our,
thank you for having me on.
All right, buddy.
Thank you. Congratulations right. again.
Thank you. Have a nice night.
Okay, you too.
Keep it up.
All right. I'm back.
Yeah. Okay, Brady. I'm getting ready to get Dr. Chris on, and then we'll go to our first guest, which is Frankie Filippo. Guys, Frankie had another fantastic fight last month, and he's going to have another fight this month, and he hopes to have one in September. And possibly before the end of the year, come back down to Florida and have a rematch with Adam Jaco. So if that happens, we will be there, and we'll be doing it live from doing a live broadcast from the fight. So just want to let you guys know that.
I didn't know that we were going to do a live broadcast. I thought we were
going
to see it.
No, we're going to do a live broadcast, buddy.
All right.
You got to earn your money this time.
Wow.
Maybe we'll get some sponsors.
Yeah.
Get some sponsors, get some money.
This kid
sure.
this kid is a kid after my own heart right there, bro.
You can tell this is one of Casey's kids, right? You can tell this is one of Casey's.
Yes, yes, you can. Business, I love it. Love it.
I'm
going to
go ahead and get on your coattails real quick.
Yeah,
yeah, man.
You don't get anything
Love
over
it.
On her kids.
Love it.
But let's see, Ty. We have Joseph Parker coming up on October 1st with Dimitrenko. What do you think of that fight?
Yeah, you know what? Parker is a kid coming up, and I never forget Brian the Beast Mento talking about he had the fastest hands that he had come across, you know.
Right.
And, you know, Parker, he once he beat Takam, he proved to me that he's, you know, at this point at least a fringe contender, specifically, you know, with the heavyweight division being as open as it is. Dimitrenko's a good test for him. If he passes it with flying colors, again, they're looking at Joshua pretty soon. He is mandatory. So it'll be interesting to see how it develops.
Parker, he's still a prospect.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's why, you know, fighting a guy like Dimitrenko with his size is pretty important.
Yeah.
Parker's a big guy himself, but just different styles. Again, once he, you know, he beat Carlos Takam, and, you know, Takam is a top 10 guy.
Yeah,
so,
tough guy.
Yeah, tough guy. He only got, Takam got stopped in a very close fight in like the 11th round against Povetkin in the fight he was arguably winning. So, I mean, you know, he's a very quality guy. That was a huge win. It was a tough fight. Parker came out on top. And so, you know, Dimitrenko is not to come, but it's a different style matchup. And I think that's important when you're developing a young fighter, specifically with these heavyweights, because you have heavyweights of varying heights, you know what I mean? And Dimitrenko's, you know, a bit of a bigger guy, so it's good to get him in the ring and, you know, just have him face different types of style matchups for him.
And if they're talking about a setup with Joshua, then you would want him to see bigger guys.
And you know what? And you know, they're talking about Joshua Wilder 2017, and you know, Parker is a mandatory, but they're pushing that fight to a little, you know, maybe to early next year. So I think what we're seeing is that you have this these like kind of a young, talented crop of heavyweights.
Yeah.
That everybody recognizes, specifically their own management, and these guys still need some developing. Simple as that, you know. But everyone likes the hand that they have. So you're sitting around with a bunch of promoters who are like poker players, and everybody feels good about their hand, but they're still going to go ahead and take one more card just to get a little bit better. You know, that's kind of what's going on with Parker, you know, Wilder and Joshua and Fury to a certain extent. Even though Fury's the more proven commodity.
Yeah.
But, you know, all these other guys are still kind of, even, you know, as, you know, Deontay Wilder's farther along than the other two, but he's still a work in progress. So, you know, I can see every promoter feeling good about the fighter that they have and at the same time recognizing his vulnerabilities, and that it's going to take a little time for him to get up, you know, to where he is the world beater.
Yeah. As they say, progress is a process. So,
mm-hmm. Hey, guys,
you don't
we're joined by Dr. Chris.
Hey, guys,
hey,
I'm listening to you. How
yeah,
you doing? You got rain up here you wouldn't believe.
Yeah,
oh,
we have
geez.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, we
hey
were
guys,
talking about...
Last,
go ahead. Go
last
ahead,
night I watched a rerun of Chavez's fights.
Oh,
they
yes.
They did a two-hour package. Right? He got robbed. He robbed everybody. But Don King is such a crook. The best thing to do is box is when he gets the hell out of it. Pernell Whitaker must have beat him 10 rounds to 2,
yeah.
And they gave it a draw.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Then Frankie Randall's beating the hell out of him.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a headbutt, about an inch and a half of gash right in his forehead, and he quit. He said, "You want to quit?" He goes, "Yeah." He said, "It's bleeding right down my eye." But there was some good fights, but... If ever a guy, and he could justify it. Oh, yeah, I think I won. Why, he got beat 10 rounds of 2, you know? But I've been watching reruns all week, Showtime's at them. There's a lot of the fights that I missed and forgot about. So what are you guys talking about? What's going on tonight? Anybody fighting tonight?
Frampton against Santa Cruz.
Is that going to be a pay-per-view?
Boy, Santa Cruz is tough. They had four of his fights on, too. He's a tough guy, isn't he, that skinny damn thing? How the hell did he punch so hard? He looked like he's half dead.
He's a skinny guy. He is a skinny guy. He's a tall skinny guy.
He's half dead.
Frampton is a good fighter.
Frampton is a good fighter.
You know what? I don't see how he could go against Santa Cruz.
Is this going to be pay-per-view?
No, it's on Showtime, buddy.
Oh, Showtime.
Yeah,
okay.
Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
I mean, Santa Cruz never stops coming in, never stops throwing punches, and he blasts you. He gets to you after a while. Is it going to be at 130
yeah.
pounds or what, 126 or 130?
126.
Yeah. I think it's 126.
Yeah, because he fought Quigg at 122. Yeah, he moved up to 126. So this is his first fight at 126 against Santa Cruz. So you got to give him credit for really testing himself. He does have a skill set, you know, to where he could beat Santa Cruz. He has that kind of footwork, angles. He has definitely enough pop. If he could hurt Santa Cruz, then all bets are off. That's the main thing. But Santa Cruz has like a 3-inch height advantage, but like a 7-inch reach advantage.
Yeah.
It's an uphill climb for Frampton, but Frampton's a good little fighter, though, man. He really is. Don't know if he's going to pull this one off, but I don't take anything away from him if he doesn't. I think he might have just, you know, tried to chomp, you know, took too big a bite. But he's a good little fighter. He's got a tough road with Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz is a big, strong 126-pounder. It was hard to believe Santa Cruz made 118 and 122 with his height, you know.
And Santa Cruz knows how to fight. I mean, even he has speed limitations. He's not the hardest puncher, but he's a tough guy. And for that, as Ty said earlier, he's a volume puncher.
Wow.
And, you know, he'll outwork you, he'll outdog you, and then he'll start throwing punches from different angles. So, I mean, the guy's not void of craft.
The one thing is Santa Cruz is definitely vulnerable to being outboxed. I've seen it before. There were a couple decisions where I really thought should have gone against him. Where you know, he eked out a decision, and I was like, I might have been able to go the other way with that one. And it was just primarily because, you know, the guy was giving him trouble with lateral movement. Frampton has some of those same abilities, but giving up 7 inches in reach to a guy who's gotten significantly better since that time, a guy who fights better behind range now than he used to, again, it's a tough ask of Frampton, but I think he's definitely up for the challenge. It's going to be a good fight. It'd be interesting to see if he could pull it off. Odds makers don't think so. Most people think he's going to get stopped or lose a decision basically in the second half of the fight.
Frampton is going to tell a lot.
I think Frampton is probably – he can't get any better for the talent that he has and the size that he has.
Yeah.
You know, he does everything right. But
yeah.
Santa Cruz is tough. He comes in, he makes you fight 3 minutes every round.
Yes.
He doesn't care if he gets hit right in the face with a shovel.
Yeah.
I mean, he comes in there, you know.
Yeah.
He comes in there, and he's there to bang your head off. And he's going to take five to land five if he has to. I mean, he's impressed. And where the hell is he getting?
Handful.
I mean, he gets you at the end of his arms. And the punch, they have some power, that skinny guy.
And the one thing Frampton, if there was one thing I look at that Frampton does that's not good, you know, it's a vulnerable, he has a tendency at times of back straight up.
Straight up.
He uses angles, but, man, you can't back straight up against Santa Cruz. You cannot do that.
Not giving up that kind of reach.
Yeah, 7 inches in reach. Yeah. It was 7 inches of reach. You know, you need to step in. All you got to do is throw again. You know what I mean? So, I mean, 7 inches of reach. So he's like Paul Williams tonight, essentially. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a long arm volume puncher. So, I mean, like you said, Dr. Chris, Frampton could do everything right and still get stopped in this fight.
Yeah. He's just fighting a freak. The guy's a freak. You know, I look at him and I go, how the hell does he weigh 126 pounds at that height? And then, you know, he's got big shoulders, long arms. I mean, I don't see him getting beat. I don't see him getting beat. I mean, there's no.
I think Frampton's going to have to be able to really hurt him. If Frampton can't hurt him and at least hurt him enough to make him, you know, a little bit reluctant to throw so many punches. If Frampton can't do that, all bets are off, man. He'll make Santa Cruz look bad over a few rounds with his foot movement, his eye-catching combination, speed, and all that stuff. But as the fight wears on, he starts backing up more and more, straight up more and more. He could get run out of the ring, basically. You know, it's going to take a Herculean effort for him to stay in the fight if he cannot hurt Santa Cruz. If he can hurt Santa Cruz with his power, well, then we got a different fight.
One thing Frampton can do is he has the footwork and the movement at times to counterpunch. And Santa Cruz leaves his arms out there where he's always throwing punches. And those long arms they'll come back. They don't always come back to the proper places all the time. So
they don't come back
to
as fast as they think,
Exactly. So if Frampton could go ahead and lay some power counters down, then he could definitely kind of, you know, settle Santa Cruz down to a bit. He's not throwing 100-and-something punches around.
But, see, you know, then what happens, though, if he starts, and this is what I kind of liked about Santa Cruz in the Abner Maris fight, if he starts to counter Santa Cruz, as Abner Maris is starting to do, then Santa Cruz just started stepping back, you know what I mean, drawing the counter and then responding to it with range, from range. So, you know, it was the Abner Maris fight that showed me Santa Cruz had more than one kind of one gear. I do think Frampton is capable of outboxing him for stretches and maybe the whole fight. You never know. I Frampton is definitely the more skilled guy to a certain extent, the more versatile guy.
He's cleaner than Abner Maris. Abner Maris, he'll come in here lean. Abner Maris kind of wants to get in and rough it up for the most part. And that's just wrong against Santa Cruz because you're trying to lean on a long guy who's stepping back with hooks.
Yeah, I think if any guy is capable of outboxing him at this point, it would be a Frampton because Frampton has that skill set. The biggest thing is, again, giving up 7 inches in reach and having a tendency to back straight up could be deadly. I mean, it comes down to Frampton has to kind of fight the perfect fight. You know what I mean? Santa Cruz is not a deadly puncher and gets you out of there in one punch, but Frampton has to be perfect more than Santa Cruz does to win the fight. Simple as that.
And he has to be in perfect shape.
Yeah, conditioning is.
Conditioning is key.
The only guy out there that could outbox and probably win a decision against Santa Cruz Lomachenko at 126. That'd be one hell of a fight.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be one hell of a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Have they ever fought any comparable opponents?
No, because Lomachenko's fought so few at this point. Plus, Lomachenko just moved up to 130. Lomo's up at 130 now. So, he just moved up.
Well, the other guy could move up, too. Santa Cruz could move up.
He's got
plenty of room to pack on.
I believe
four
that.
Pounds.
Hey, Dr. Chris, I'm going to tell you the fight they're talking about. If Santa Cruz wins, this fight you'd be interested in. But I just read an article literally yesterday talking about if Santa Cruz wins, the fight to make would be he and your boy Gary Russell Jr.
Mm. Now he's really giving away reach. What? Santa Cruz might punch him in the knee.
This fight with Frampton is a good precursor to Gary Russell.
Yeah.
Gary Russell about 5'3"?
Yeah, Gary's Santa Cruz.
He's 5'3".
He's about the same height as he's like him and Frampton are both like 5'4".
fast little guys.
Yeah.
Now, I think Gary's got faster hands, but I think Santa Cruz.
Oh, Gary, nobody's got faster hands than him.
He's fast.
His hands
Santa
are lightning.
Santa Cruz sits down on his punches a little bit more.
Well, little Gary wants to fight Lomachenko.
Gary already got beat by Lomachenko.
I know, but he wants him back. He wants him back.
Oh, yeah, he wants that back. He wants that back. Yeah.
Salido's been calling Lomachenko out.
I think Russell and Santa Cruz would be a hell of a fight. I think Russell's kind of come into his own since the Santa Cruz loss.
I don't know. 5'3 to 5'7 and a half. He's giving away, 4 inches in height, probably 5 inches in reach.
Yeah.
That's a lot, guys.
And you know what? Gary has to do. He has to be a little more defensive. His offense is blazing fast, and he attacks. You know, pretty good timing with it in combination.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one thing. Gary will come straight in and straight out. And Santa Cruz, he'll eat that up. He'll get to eating that up. Then Gary Russell's footwork is basically predicated on coming straight in, coming not straight out. So I see Santa Cruz stalking him, maybe cutting the ring off on him.
You know, it'd be an interesting fight because I honestly think in that loss to Lomachenko, I saw the best of Gary Russell as far as, you know, his intangible attributes. And I don't think – I think Santa Cruz brings certain things out in Russell, but I think Russell's already seen the best fighter he's going to see. I'm just going to point blank. He fought Lomachenko. He's not going to fight anyone better from a skill set in his career. And there are definitely things – that Gary Russell could take advantage of. It's kind of like Carl Frampton. There are things that Carl Frampton could take advantage of. It's just, can you do it over enough of the 12 rounds to get a victory over this guy when this guy is going to keep coming? And particularly in the sixth or seventh, when your legs are moving so much, you're getting heavy, and this guy's coming straight forward with all that range, you know? It's tough. He's a tough climb, man.
Yeah, all that conditioning. I mean, he throws punches forever. I mean, how much conditioning do you have to be in?
You know what? To me, this is why Floyd Mayweather would have never beat Margarito, why Floyd Mayweather didn't want to fight Margarito. You don't want to fight a tall, long, iron chin volume puncher. Like, and then Margarito could cut off the ring, too. So there's, like, nothing you can do almost, you know?
Punch while you're punching. I mean, those things, I mean, most fighters are protectors of themselves. You know, some guys, when they throw it out the window and they know they have the chin to do that, they're going to eat your shot to get – they might eat a face shot, might eat a nice clean jab to just get something off to the body.
Yeah, you
know, but that chips away more at you than it does at them. So next thing you know, you may hit them 1,000 times, and they may hit you 100. But that 100 hurts a lot worse.
You know what? They talk about Cotto and Margarito. And Margarito, because of the Shane Mosley fight, they say, well, you know, you probably had plasters for the Cotto fight. If he had plaster in anything, it was his chin, because that's what caused Cotto that fight. Cotto hit him with everything, including the kitchen sink. And he couldn't slow him down. And every time we were watching a fight, watching Cotto rip these beautiful combinations to the head, and all of a sudden you see Margarito drop two to the body, boom, boom. And you see Cotto visibly fold and have to scurry out. And it was just like, damn. You know what I mean? So there's just like that story's going on.
He got an awful beating. Cotto got an awful beating against Margarito. Is that the ones where they said he had plaster Paris in his wraps?
Yeah.
That was one of the worst beatings I ever saw anybody get. I mean, that was awful. I mean, Margarito was a tough guy. He could take a punch, too.
That's what won him the fight to me, the fact that Cotto couldn't slow him down at all with everything he hit him with.
Cotto hits him pretty hard. Cotto's
Cotto's
not a soft-hitting guy.
Yeah, Cotto's a puncher. You know what I mean? He's a puncher hitting this guy with everything he can. He could slow him down. That's scary.
Well, everybody's coming. The lighter divisions are coming back. They're getting as interesting. You know, it's good to see good boxing again. You know?
Yeah.
There's some good matches. Like we just said, Gary Russell, Lomachenko, Santa Cruz. You got some.
Did
good
you see the Terrence Crawford Posto match, Dr. Chris?
You know what? I was fooling with my television, and I couldn't get the damn thing on. And you know, right to this day, who in the hell won that fight?
Terrence Crawford. I had the fortune to see of watching it. Of course, I had to watch it in Russian, but I don't know. Terrence Crawford, I'll tell you exactly what the fight looked like. I'm pretty sure you saw the fight between Klitschko and Fury.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It essentially was a mirror of that. Terrence Crawford is southpaw, of course. He fought southpaw for the duration of the fight for the most part, and Postal fought orthodox. Postal basically stalked him for nothing for the most part. He got knocked down twice in the fifth round. Once I thought was a slip. Once Crawford hurt him and he touched the canvas. But for the most part, he just foot movement, head movement, just kind of danced around the ring, and Postal just chased for nothing. Crawford fought when he wanted to. It seemed like he told Postal when to throw punches. And he just ring generalship shipped them to death.
So it went 12 rounds.
Yeah, I didn't see the fight either. It's on. There's gonna be a rerun tonight on HBO.
Oh, HBO.
I was waiting for the rerun tonight. That's what I was doing.
Yeah, it's 10:15.
I was hoping to see the rerun.
10:15 Eastern.
Yeah, that fight was $59, $60.
Yeah, I heard that it looks like it only done about 50,000 pay-per-view buys. And, you know, Bob Arum said, hey, man, if it does 90, I'll do backflips. He wasn't expecting a lot. 50,000, I'm sure he's not going to be really happy with. But, again, HBO couldn't afford to pay for the fight, so it was the route they had to go.
Yeah, kind of, you know, Postal, and Chris, they're not in the pay-per-view position yet. They're not that good or that bad. Good a fight that to draw. I'm glad they didn't get a good turnout for them, you know. People want to watch the fight. You know, pay-per-view. I don't want to pay $60 to see a guy that, you know, is potentially a decent fight, but it's not going to be a great fight. So, you know, Lomachenko and Gary Russell, that I'd pay for. You know,
yeah,
Santa Cruz and Lomachenko, that I'd pay for. You know, but I'm not paying $60 for fight. He got lucky against the Matisse. He had so much height on him, you know. So he won. Well, that's good. I'll watch the rerun tonight and see what What's going on with the heavyweights? Anybody know? Anything happening? When's the rescheduling of the big Mamu against Big Kahuna? Remember? Big Dummy.
September?
Big Dummy fights Klitschko soon, doesn't he?
That's
the 18th. Back to October.
October.
How long?
Got pushed back like 3 months. Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, injury.
That'll be interesting.
Wait, what happened? Ty, you want to talk about what happened with Chikaev? First, his title was taken away from him. Now they decided to give it back to him.
I didn't read anything about it. No, I'm not familiar with that at all.
Oh, WBA World Championship Committee has stripped heavyweight champion Ruslan Chagayev of his title. But
he was still holding the
back
title?
To him. Yeah. And he was gifted back to him.
Oh, wow.
Even after the loss to Lucas Brown.
You know what? That's right. Brown won the title.
Test.
Brown tested positive for
right.
PED. That's what happened.
Right.
Now Brown is now in some kind of VADA or VADA USADA. He's getting tested all the time now. But he tested positive, so I guess the title was forfeited back to Chagayev. But the fact of the matter is, it's a meaningless belt. Honestly, I believe Tyson Fury is the super champion of the WBA. It's really nothing but an opportunity to collect another sanctioning fee for a fight that's really not a championship fight. It really is that simple.
Hey, you know, it would be a nice fight if Wilder and Tyson Fury went at it again. Do you think that would be a good fight?
That would be an awesome fight. Both men have to worry about each other.
So you know, Wilder's out till 2017 because he did tear a bicep, and he broke his hand again. So you know he's got to watch it. He's a devastating puncher, but he's having those brittle hand issues. Obviously Fury has to take care of his business with Vladimir Klitschko. But the fact of the matter is, if Fury were to lose to Klitschko and not retire. He's still a draw in the heavyweight division. There's still some good fights to be had, win or lose, with a lot of these guys. You know what I mean? If Joshua were to go ahead and lose to somebody, he still can make for exciting fights with other people. I mean, the heavyweight division is wide open right now. You know, there was even talk of, for those who care, of Charles Martin looking to come back relatively soon. You know, towards the end of the year. So I mean, you know, the heavyweight division is wide open. Looking to get hopefully Amir Mansour jumps back in because one or two wins puts you in a position instantly, you know, for at least a big money fight with somebody. Yeah.
We got a guy that's ready to take that fight right now. Our first guest with us here is Frankie Philippone. Frankie, how you doing?
Hello, guys. How is everyone?
Yeah,
hey, Frankie,
we're doing great.
How's it going?
You know, living the dream as usual.
There you
go.
All right,
go
ahead, Brady.
I hear about your fight. Was it a week ago, day ago?
Yeah, it was July 16th was the fight, and then I took a week off for a little bit of vacation. So now I'm back to ready.
How do you think you did?
Well,
what did you do?
I tell you, I knew he was going to be a tough opponent since he fought some top guys in his career. I thought I would be able to finish him, but I think I hurt my hand, both hands. I had to ice him up for 2 days because I hit him so many times. But he didn't go down. I couldn't get him out of there. So I think I give myself a B just because I felt good. I could have gone 12 rounds. It went 10. I could have gone 12. So conditioning and stamina was there, but I think I could have put my punches together a little bit better, and I probably would have got him out of there. So I'll take a B.
Frankie, now, I know you're a veteran fighter and everything. So But off of this fight, what would you say you would need, if anything, to work on outside of putting your punches together, if anything?
I think I just and not to cut you off, I apologize, but
no, you're fine.
I think what I have to do just moving forward with the top-level opponents is just being quicker on seeing the opportunity. I think I had a couple missed opportunities for throwing three or four punches. Even though I did throw multiple combinations throughout the fight, I probably threw about 50 punches around.
Man,
you know, I think during the last, you know, 30 seconds, me and the corner kind of worked it out where, you know, we've kind of realized, you know, and knowing, try to make sure that we increase the output. So I think I think I just got to be able to see the opportunities faster. You know, my timing was a little off, and that's probably attributed to some of the missed opportunities. But I countered punches really well. He didn't hit me with anything real strong. Well, I blocked most of those punches. But I think overall, though, my hands became a little sore. And, you know, as fighters, you always got to worry about that. You know, we wrap our hands pretty well, but I hit him so many times, and I caught him in the, you know, sometimes I caught him in the elbow and stuff like that,
elbow,
going to the body.
Yeah.
And, you know,
sharp
so,
parts.
Yeah. So, I mean, ultimately, like I said, I think, you know, just make sure I'm maintaining the game plan. You know, that's how you win fights is, you know, you don't have to be the fastest or the strongest. You just got to stick to your game plan.
Thank you. I know it's been a while, actually, since I've actually had an opportunity to be on with you. This is Ty. I've just had an opportunity to be here when you've been here. Last time I talked to you, you said that one of the things you were looking to do was not just be a counterpuncher, to be a little bit more aggressive. And it seems like you've obviously stepped that up. Throwing 50 punches around that's especially a 168. I mean, that's phenomenal.
Right.
It seems like recently you've really hit the groove. Is that what you would attribute it to being, you know, more offensive minded, or is it something differently you're doing in conditioning and training? What is it? Because it seems like you're starting to find your groove, man.
I think, you know, I think it's I'm a lot wiser. you know, because I'm older, but I think ultimately the change in my job, you know, with the police department, I've been able to get a little bit more training time in because I have a set schedule. So I've actually increased, you know, sometimes working out twice a day, but I feel like I'm not getting a good look as the other fighters. Because I'm not as flashy, I'm not as I'm more of that counterpuncher, that safe bet, you know. I thought, let me try this. I mean, I've been successful a lot, you know, with the counterpunching, and I still use the counterpunching, but now I'm more so, let me start the action, let me throw the jab out there, and you know, especially with the Jaco fight, I was, you know, a lot more aggressive than I normally am in any kind of fight. So I think just knowing I have a little bit more confidence in my conditioning, and I feel like, okay, well, let's go for it. I mean, this fight, the last 30 seconds, he and I just went to war, you know. And,
oh, wow.
And I felt like I could really go two more rounds, you know, if I needed to.
Speaking of Jaco, do you think you'll get another fight in with Jaco?
With him?
Yeah.
Well, I would love to get another fight. And they did contact us about a possible fight. So I'm thinking the promoters are going to try to work it out. Maybe bring him to Virginia, see what we can do. Maybe fight for a USBA title, something big that both of us can benefit from.
All right.
So, Frank, because the USBA, you have to do that fight down here. That fight has to be down
Florida.
Here. Yeah, because Brady wants to go and he wants to be sitting in the ringside.
I got on the plane last time, man. I got on the plane last time. Come on now.
Yeah,
I got on the plane and I won. You got to come to me now, baby.
You need some home cooking.
Yeah, Frank said, I got on the plane and I won. You got to come to me now.
Right, yeah.
Get home.
Yeah, I did talk to Aaron the other day, and he is looking for that big one with you.
Yeah, I think, you know, like I said, the USBA has me number three. We can make that title fight make sense. The IBO, we've always talked to the IBO about fighting for their international title. So I think it's something that we could make a good fight. I really don't care where it is. Me personally, I'm not selfish. I do think that if I'm the champ, I should get. But to me, it's got to.
You don't care where it is because you don't care where it is because Jaco lives in Florida. If Jaco lived in Minnesota, you'd care a little bit more.
Yeah. I'd have to fight him in the day. I'd have to fight him in the summertime.
You're like, oh man, I gotta go to Florida. I really don't care where the fight is.
that is a true statement right there. Yeah, if he was in Iowa, Idaho, or somewhere else, or, North Dakota,
you better start collecting a lot of aluminum cans for our trip because we're going up there.
Yeah. That's all right. We'll get you a press pass there, Frank, and we'll try to get some extra sponsors for you.
There you go.
Oh, sponsors! Wow.
Hey, I also hear you. You have a fight next month in the month. August?
Yeah, we got August 25th. We're really excited about that fight. It's during a big East Coast Surfing Championship, so. It's a week-long event in Virginia Beach, so they run it from Friday to Sunday. The championships are Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then we're rolling out the fight on a Thursday. So it's a little weird fighting on a Thursday night, but it's a good benefit. It's gonna all military veterans with IDs get in for free.
Okay.
So we're really doing a good thing for the veterans. It's mainly about them. It's called Heroes on the Sand. So most of us that are, I would imagine, I think all of us, all the fighters, they're doing an amateur. They're doing 4 amateur bouts and 5 pro bouts. I'm headlining that card as well. And
nice.
All of us have some experience with, like obviously I'm in law enforcement, but my father retired in the Navy with 32 years of service. So it's just as much me fighting for myself as I'm fighting for him. So as a tribute to what he's given to this country.
Chris on?
Yes.
Yeah, he's still there.
Oh, just because
we
always got to get Dr. Chris to talk to Frankie because, the old
Frankie,
Italian thing.
I don't talk to many Paisan
anymore.
Frankie, I got a question for you.
Sir.
You said I never saw you fight, but you say you're a counterpuncher. I thought your mindset would be to make the fight rather than wait and counterpunching. What style do you have?
Well,
are you a pure counterpuncher?
Yeah, I started out in the amateur career as more as a go-to guy, just throwing punches because you don't really have a whole lot of time. 2 minutes is not a lot of time to be a boxer or a counterpuncher. As I transitioned into pro, I thought, why go in there and make these fights a slugfest like traditional Italian fighters are, these
mm-hmm.
bruisers. And I thought, well, I'll try to have a good balance. But over the years, I felt like I was able to score more points and take less damage by being the counterpuncher.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I've just had my 27th professional fight, and I've had some really good fights, and I've had some really good looks, and I've had some things go my way. But I felt now, mm-hmm. In this late part of my game, I think that's what people want. That's what sells. And, in order, and unfortunately, for a promoter to really say, hey, I want to put you on my card all the time, one, you gotta have a good fighting style, and two, you got to bring people in the seats. So I feel
draw the crowd, yeah.
Correct, yeah. And I do a pretty good job, with the fights here. I mean, I think the first time we came here, I did, $17,000 just myself.
Oh, wow.
And then I think I average about 12 to 15 each fight. So, and unfortunately, a fighter like me, you should be preparing for the fight and you should be relaxing, right? So,
right.
But unfortunately for me, I want the fans to get the best experience. So I go out and I hand deliver most of these tickets. I sell them to the people. I collect the money. I've taking pictures upon pictures with fans that have bought tickets because I want them to get the true experience. I don't
mm-hmm.
want them to just come to a fight because it's expensive. You're talking, $40 or $50 for a ticket. You bring your loved one or your friend, and you're talking about an $80 to $100 day. And I want them to really get the benefit because without them, I don't really have a whole lot to fight for.
Right. Dr. Chris, Zito and I had an opportunity to see Slanky fight live a few years ago up in Wilmington. And he looked like a sniper. He was a backflip sniper. That's what he looked like. And I saw the footage of a fight like last year, and he looked like a front-flip bully, a slick bully, which I thought was pretty unique because you were more aggressive and you were kind of bullying a guy, but you were still slick, though. You were still slipping punches.
Right.
And what you were doing is it seemed like you were using your feet and your aggression to draw the counter opportunity. So you were still countering, but you were forcing the fight. So I thought that was pretty smart on your part, you know what I mean? As far as just from a standpoint, you know, as we get older, it slows down for us. We don't have to use as much foot movement. And I just found it really unique. It just seemed like everything slowed down for you, you know what I mean? You were still finding your shots, but you were creating them instead of just finding them, you know? That was the biggest difference I noticed in the change in the few years that I had seen you fight.
Yeah, and it was kind of – it's kind of weird, and that's a good assessment is I thought a lot of times I would use my feet more. Like I would usually be more ring generalship and I would move around the ring, but then I realized I was missing opportunities there because I was always out of position. So then I thought, okay, well, let's slow it down. Let's get the counter punching under control. And then we could really make an impact, you know, and let's face it, when a guy's moving forward and you meet him that force on force, you do more damage to him than anything because you know, you're using his momentum against him. So that's kind of where I've learned that and just kind of kept that style going. But I do feel like now I'm trying to force the action in between the counter punches.
So. You know, you're having like you have really tight fights. Like they're each in like a month. They're each a month apart. Like, are you going up in harder? Are you getting harder people to fight?
I mean we're trying to always improve you know to build on that record, and then but this fight in August it's only going to be a 6-round fight. It's you know, we're really just doing it for the military veterans and it's more of a charity benefit, but it's still a sanctioned fight. It's still going to go toward my record, so I don't know
how many would that be this year though, Frankie. Would that be your third fight this year?
It will be coming up on my fourth one. So
that's good. So you're staying nice and active and sharp.
Yeah. Yep. So
how about that's
good.
That's a great.
How about next year? Like, are you gonna do more fights next year or less fights?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be. My promoter thinks I'm crazy. I'd like to get five fights a year. I mean, I really would try to push five fights a year. Is my goal. But, you know, unfortunately, I have to see how they come. He's got several fights coming up. We actually talked about right after August, the fight September 10th. I think we're gonna drop back until October, and then just give us some healing, some rest time. So
it seems like the promoters doing a good job of keeping you busy, though. You know, whereas a lot of fighters can't get fights, they're keeping you in the ring, which is a great thing. Just so that way, if you ever get the call from somebody someplace, you're nice and sharp, man.
Yeah. I mean, I got the call to fight. I did get the call to fight Alvarez, a leader Alvarez that just fought last night.
Oh, yeah. He's a good fighter. They were trying to get you to come up to 175 again, I think. You know what? You said I did get the call to fight a lighter, and it took me a second to wait. Oh, wait a minute. They're trying to get him back to 175 again.
No. Listen, I've been lucky to win at 175. There's no doubt. You know, when you meet, like I said, when I felt Sean Miller, I really understood what being the underdog really meant in terms of weight. I mean, because he came down from 191 pounds to make 175. And, you know, I think the heaviest I've ever been is 180.
Wow.
You know, and I would walk around at 74. You know, I mean, I keep my weight. I'm trying to put myself where if a fight happens at 160, then I can be in position for 160 too. So.
Oh, you think you can get all the way down to 160?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt I get to 160. My coach said if Manny Pacquiao wanted to fight me at 154, then we would make 154. But I can tell you this: I would not be called an Italian or a Paisan if I was at 154, because I would not be able to eat pasta or any other. I would
no more bread.
Nothing. You know, that garlic bread that's so good, you know, when you stop, you take that garlic bread and you rub it all that, take all that marinara sauce, and, you know, you can't do that. No, forget it.
Frank, you get to a point where you lose too much of your body fat, you can't fight. Where's your strength? Your muscles will cramp up on you. I saw that happen to Johnny Bumpus. He was like Bumpus City. He was like a ghost. I mean, he was so skinny. He had no body fat, and he used to cramp up, and he lost a couple of fights by cramping up near the end of the fight. He couldn't do it anymore.
I think if we really decided to go down to, because we fought at 162 before, and I felt strong. You could tell that I felt light. I felt like I was moving too much. But I think if we were going to go down that low, I mean, I have a nutritionist, you know, now, so I use them, their services if I need to, you know, and they'll promote a little bit healthier change. Now, if they call me to, you know, next week to make 154, that probably won't happen. I could probably make it happen. It probably wouldn't be safe, you know, so. I think, you know, with about 5 or 6 weeks, I could make 160 with no problem. But we'll see.
Wow.
You know, we'll see what it has in store for me. So.
Yeah. I have a little bit of a football report.
Bree. We'll get to that in a few minutes.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
Frank, did you like that video?
Frankie, didn't you? I got that video. I thought it was great. I sent it on to Lehman. I got something back from him. Said he was going to talk to his friends.
Okay.
I showed it to. I also sent it
up
to. I did up to Dan Birmingham, so that because Dan is one of Al's go-to people. So,
yeah,
they did
a good job encompassing and capturing exactly what I'm about. So
yeah,
it was good.
Yep. I'm going to send a copy to these guys when we get off the air.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was fun. It was a little stressful making that video, them following me around. Like I said, I thought at one point they might, when I wake up in the morning, there would be a cameraman at the foot of my bed, just, you know, you know, seeing what it looks like. So, but, you know, it was fun. And I hope, you know, that I can inspire others and to make a positive influence on people. So,
sure.
So we'll see.
Good.
I can't wait to see you fight, Frankie. I may even take a ride down to. I'd like to take a ride down to Virginia Beach. It's 5 hours for me to get there.
Well, I'll keep you posted because I'm talking with the guys. We might do Northern Virginia or Baltimore. We're trying to iron it out. But I'll keep Frank posted on everything that I got
Baltimore
going on.
Baltimore's an hour and a half. That's a long ride down 13 all the way to Virginia Beach. It's a half hour just to go over that bridge.
Right, and I don't want you to get down here and I knock somebody out in the second round. You know, that doesn't matter.
I'll have to go 70 mile an hour all the way, make sure you don't finish him off too quick. Well, if you know I'm coming, you let him hang in there for a while, would you?
I don't want to let him hang around too much because then they become dangerous.
Take care of business. He'll get paid for overtime. Take care of business.
That's when trouble always.
I make more money. You're right.
That's fine.
Listen, trust me. I know that all too well. I let a guy come stay in that ring with me too long when I should have finished him off in the first round, and I ended up losing a majority decision.
Yeah, he's like your confidence.
Oh, yeah. It just, I thought I had that in the bag. But, you
wow.
know, hey, it is what it is. It's part of the fight game.
Yeah, yeah.
So, y'all just, y'all keep you posted on everything. And we'll go
from
there.
Definitely do. Hey, Frank, we appreciate you giving us your time tonight. Again, I know you're off with your family, and we really appreciate it every time we get a chance to talk to you because we learn something new. And,
yeah,
Brady, I
love it.
Brady will be out tomorrow crushing cans and taking them to the aluminum thing so we get enough gas money to get up there to see it.
I'll talk to Tommy Keelan, and we'll try to set something up. Maybe we can promote it. We'll do it in Miami or something. I don't know.
I'll take
Miami. Yeah, I bet you will, Frankie. I bet you will.
There it is.
Right.
I'll take North Dakota, you know.
Okay. Well, thank you,
Frankie.
Frank, we appreciate everything, and good luck on your next fight. And we know you'll be successful.
All right.
We'll be
thank you, guys.
To you
I
again.
Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks.
All right, Frankie. Take care, buddy.
All right, take care. Okay. All right, bye-bye.
Hey, guys, we're joined by Captain John. Captain John, fresh out of work. How you doing, Captain?
Yes, sir. Very good, very good. Just got a call today. You know that's the way it goes there, Butch. So I had to go in, take care of some business, everything's well, and now headed home. So only a
good.
Couple hours, but just on the time I was on the radio. So I'm glad to be out of
good.
Town to join you guys tonight.
Good.
Good to have you, Captain John.
Yeah, nice having you, Captain John.
John, we talked about you had some words about Mr. Crawford. Did you want to talk about that fight?
I tell you, if I didn't miss the conversation, or if I missed the conversation with Mr. Crawford, I apologize. But I tell you, what I saw in that ring and what he did and fighting Southpaw that entire fight, I firmly believe he could have put him away. But at the same time, I think he was really preparing for Pacquiao, and Crawford is something special, guys. We're watching a boxer in the making, and this guy has it all. He's got more power than Floyd Mayweather. He can fight both ways. He's an orthodox or southpaw, and his footwork is amazing. And I just, you know, when you appreciate the sport and see a guy like that in the ring and see what he's doing and what his potential could be, I mean, it's going to be good. It's going to be good to watch.
Captain John, now, seeing that fight, didn't it kind of remind you of Klitschko against Fury?
It did. Just
the demeanor, how Postal was sort of just kind of chasing for nothing, and even when he got in range, Crawford would move his head or just punch when he punched. It was just total ring generalship.
I tell you, I didn't expect a knockout on Postal, and I know that a couple people said it was going to be a knockout or whatever. I did think Crawford could have finished him and should have finished him. That's the only thing I was disappointed about. But it seemed like he made his commitment to stay southpaw the entire fight, no matter if he could have finished him or not. And with Pistol, I mean, just the fact of the matter that how much confidence he went in with, and just the way he, like you said, chasing for nothing. And when he walked into those counters and walked into that left, you know he wanted no part of it.
Yeah, he heard him in the fifth. Yeah, he heard him in the fifth.
Yeah. And that's why I figured he would have went to orthodox and finished him off. He's not, and you know, that's the only part I was disappointed about, because as much as I'm a fan of Floyd Money Mayweather, I still like to see that knockout blow. But this guy has that power and ability, and he has the ringmanship to just control the fight which way he wants to control.
And it's funny you say that, Captain John, because I do notice that when he goes in for the kill, a lot of times he turns back to orthodox.
Yeah.
And lets his offense go off. Yeah. So it's funny you did say that. Yeah. That's one of the things I did notice.
And I expected the first couple of rounds from to go southpaw and then go orthodox, and he chose not to do it. And I think it was just not only a note to all boxing what he can do lefty or southpaw, but also maybe for his next match. I know he's looking for that big payday. And Pacquiao, regardless of how old he's getting, that will be both a good draw for fans, and at the same time, it will give him payday that he's looking for.
And, you know, what separates a great fighter from a good fighter a lot of times is the great fighter has the ability to adjust on the fly. And Crawford has shown that in multiple bouts now. And from everything I read, I didn't get the chance to view the fight yet, but from everything I read and what I expected Postal to give him trouble early. Him about four rounds to figure out. In the fifth round, he started to pull away.
I did Postal one round. I think that was maybe the second where he nailed Crawford with some pretty good rights. But
I agree.
You're right,
it was the second round.
Yeah. But after that, Postal didn't really have a clean target without putting himself in danger. Crawford, as good as he is at adjusting, this fight he made Postal have to adjust. And Postal couldn't.
Yep.
He just couldn't adjust at all.
There it is.
Yeah. And I got him, guys. I know that mostly I'm in top 10, but I do got him in my top 5 pound for pound. I think the kid is special. And he brings something that boxing with this guy's talent. And you know, I know I'm a fan of him. And he wasn't known for his class, but also what he did at the end of the fight. The first thing that he did at the end of the fight was wish our Olympians the best of luck.
Yeah.
It was the first thing he did. And that's something that you want to see the good guy win. And this guy not only has a talent to be that fighter that can finish a fight or dominate a fight, but come with the class as well. I'm liking what I'm seeing, gentlemen.
You know who he's been compared to the most, honestly?
Who's that?
Marvin Hagler.
Oh.
Marvin Hagler.
Massachusetts.
Mm.
In the sense that, you know, they always talk about Marvin Hagler didn't have the Sugar Ray Leonard athleticism. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just like Terrence Crawford doesn't quite have that Floyd Mayweather athleticism. But first of all, no one, they said, since Marvin Hagler switched so seamlessly from southpaw to orthodox, you know what I mean? And that this kid is a grinder with a killer instinct. He can do it all in the ring. They compare him universally to Marvin Hagler. When I hear that, I'm like, damn, is this kid that good? So,
yeah.
Captain John, you're saying something, brother. You're saying something. You're preaching.
We need it. Boxing needs a replacement for Mayweather. I think we're getting it a little bit with Chocolate Tito. I mean, he's going to be big. And then, of course,
he's got a stiff fight coming up, man. Chocolate Tito's got a real stiff one coming up with Clodgers, man.
He does. And he better not be overconfident going into that fight.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That's why I extended it so he can.
When you put a guy in a class with Marvin Hagler, you're putting a tag on him, man.
Yeah.
Hey, whenever you mention with any of the four kings, I mean, that says something special. But, you know, he unified the belts. I understand that the opponents aren't there what they were back then. But, I mean, I'm loving what I'm seeing. I know we got a good couple months of boxing coming up, and we got some fights marinating with Canelo and Triple G and things like that. So the future for boxing is bright, while the counter sport UFC continues to take hit after hit with the doping. So maybe this is time where some fighters can step in that spotlight and give boxing fans something to cheer about again, with Manny Pacquiao leaving the sport and obviously Mayweather leaving at 49-0.
Freddie Roach. I'm sorry. And I was going to say real quick. Freddie Roach said that first of all, he was surprised that Crawford was as fast as he was. Didn't expect him to be that fast. And he said, you know what? He goes, I wouldn't want Manny to fight this kid right away. He goes, I'd need a tune-up fight, then I'd have Manny fight him. He goes, I wouldn't want Manny to fight him right away. That's what Freddie Roach said. He said, give me a tune-up fight. He said, give me a fight first, and then we'll fight Crawford. So Freddie Roach recognizes. I think Freddie Roach was surprised that Crawford dominated his fighter the way he did.
And anytime you get accolades from someone like Freddie Roach, I know we're printing the same class as Hagler, but anytime you get accolades from Freddie Roach, who's there, and then going to say a fighter of Pacquiao stature, regardless of his age, he needs a tune-up fight to fight Crawford. I'm telling you, this is something special that's going to take place.
For Freddie to say that, you know, one thing Freddie doesn't do is he doesn't give those kind of compliments to fighters. He'll talk about what kind of skill set they have, but he never kind of is reluctant with his own guy against any fighter. That was the first time I heard him say, you know, other than Mayweather, well, give us a warm-up fight, you know what I mean? So I was kind of surprised to hear that kind of respect coming from Freddie Roach in regards to Crawford after the Postal fight, because he wasn't giving them that respect before the fight at all.
But that's absolutely smart. Especially a guy with Pacquiao's style, you don't want to just jump into a fight with a style adjusted. And just simple as that. Because Pacquiao, Freddie Roach, I love him as a trainer. He's a very good trainer, but he tends to train in that one straight-ahead style, as I kind of saw with Postal.
And Pacquiao is going to be no different than the Pacquiao you saw last time. You know what I mean?
That's
he's not.
That's
gonna,
the,
he's, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's not going to take a guy who can adjust the styles as
and
a
the big thing
Crawford
for Crawford, once he, once, once he adjusts to the speed and the angles, it's going to be, I mean, you know, I mean, Pacquiao's something special. But you know, Captain John believes so is Terrence Crawford. So is Bud. So we'll see. Good
time. How long can we expect Pacquiao to come up with good performances? He's been around forever, guy. He's getting old now.
Yeah, he's 37. You know? He'll be 37.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's old.
And obviously that's why his last fight was against Tim Bradley and not against Terrence Crawford. You know, Bob Arum wasn't ready to feed him to a young lion yet. You know, now if Pacquiao comes back, now obviously it would, you know, it'd be the passing of the torch fight possibly. So, you know, we'll see. You know, obviously you can't monetize Pacquiao the way they used to. So obviously for Bob Arum, it would behoove him to use Pacquiao to build his biggest star, which right now is TC. So, yeah.
Guys, we've come to a point in that program where Brady has his football things all set up here. Go ahead, Brady, tell us about what you got.
Hugh Jackson is the new coach for the Browns. It is his first day with the Browns, first day of training. Robert Griffin III is testing his skills in the field. This is some pretty sad news, though. Cordell Patterson got hurt first week of training. So I hope he gets back better so he can play. He's on the Vikings. So, yeah.
Is that it for your report?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Not much going on. It's all good.
I got one thing to add to football. The Patriots open camp, and they drew 22,000 fans at their opening spring camp today. So, I mean, 22,000 fans. So, Roger Goodell, take that. And that's my note on football.
There you go.
Wow.
Hey, John, the last time you were on, you had a Signal 20 attack one of your guys. How'd that go?
Yeah, we had it's day in and day out, my friend. So, you know, we just got to go on and stay on our toes, and he's going to be okay, full recovery.
Good.
But obviously, he's got some operations and some hurdles in front of him. But he's got a strong family, both his blood family and his law enforcement family. So, he's going to make it. He just got a couple hurdles in front of him.
Good, good. Well, we'll keep him on the prayer line up here.
Thank you.
Sebastian, right?
Sebastian, yes, sir.
Yeah. Yes, sir. We've got it. We've had him on the prayer line. We'll keep him on the prayer line up here.
Sounds. I know we just talked about Pacquiao. Has the conversation about Roy Jones Jr. Been touched the show today yet?
Yeah, I mentioned it. Yeah, I did mention
okay.
it.
Okay. Can someone just please call him and tell him to retire? That's all I have. If you have his number, I ask any one of you guys to call him and tell him to retire. I don't have his number, but if you all do, get it out. We don't need to see it. We want to remember him for his glory days and for what he brought to the sport in his prime. And even now, you know, I mean, he's a little slow in the booth too. I can't take that away from him because he has a ring experience, but I don't want him to get any slower.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, guys, we're just up against it. I put a little time on tonight, but we're just up against it. So, John, I want to thank you for calling in. I appreciate your time. I know you're very busy. We appreciate your time. Chris, I love talking to you every week. You just bring so much to the show with your boxing historian, Italian.
I appreciate it, gentlemen. I'm sorry I'm late. I'm just glad I got to touch base, and I'll definitely be listening to the archive of the show, and I hope that our other listeners, if they tuned in late, would do the same thing, because this show, with the guys that are on it, I mean, I tell you what, they got so much knowledge between all of them, and it's even a delight for me to listen to, and my whole family listens to it, and it's something we do on our Saturdays. So I greatly appreciate what you guys do as well. And when's the next show, Butch?
Next Saturday. We're on every Saturday night.
Beautiful. We could touch base on the fight that's tonight, and I hope to see a great one.
Right.
Hey, do you think we're going to have Keith Thurman on again? Talk about his fight?
Yes, we are going to have him in 2 weeks.
2 weeks, all right.
Yeah. We have Kathy Duva coming next week.
Oh, wow.
After Kathy Duva is Dan Birmingham and Keith Thurman. And
week
after that is
tremendous performance.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And then we'll have Edner on about going prepared for a fight, and the dance broke out.
Wow. You didn't just say that.
Yeah, I did.
One of our Fighting Word family have any fights coming up?
Good question. No, those guys are all, I don't think anybody we have come, that's been on for a while has got anything coming. Although, you brought up a name I hadn't heard in a while, Ty, about Monsoon. Have you heard anything from him?
Oh, no, I have not, actually. And I mean, remember last time he was in the ring, he got his jaw broken. So, so obviously we, you know, Dr. Chris said it only take about he said not long to heal.
Yeah, that heals fast. You know, he was leading that fight on everybody's scorecard.
Oh, man, yeah, he was actually doing
really
well.
He was beating that guy around the ring.
That guy just got a shot at Joshua. That guy just lost to Joshua. So
And he carried him well into the later rounds too. I mean, it wasn't an early knockout.
So Amira's right there, you know. So if he heals up and gets back in the ring, hopefully that'll happen pretty soon.
Yeah, that's not
every heavyweight has.
Ty, I forgot to ask you the name. What's your name? The name of your movie?
Oh, the name of my film is called Film Hawk.
Oh, okay, thanks.
You're welcome, sir.
He's trying to look it up on his iPad.
You'll see it. You'll see it. Film Hawk documentary. Yep.
Good. Well, guys, we are up against our time limit here now, and I appreciate everybody coming on tonight, Captain John. Ty, Zito, Brady, you always add something to us. Chris, you always bring all the great stories, and you and Zito are our technicians as far as what's thrown, what's
in
the style.
Hey, what's your location on Kirkwood? What's your address?
The address of the gym is.
What's it next to?
3680 Kirkwood Highway. It's right behind Panera Bread.
Panera. On Panera, there's
Kirkwood
a Panera
Highway.
Up on the north side.
Right down from Price's Corner.
Okay, I know where it is. I know that area well. I'll drop in on you. I'll bring you all the books and everything.
Oh, you know, we need to come see you. That's what Zito and I said. We're going to come see you.
Well, there's a lot of good restaurants around there. Are you guys a lunch? So maybe we could do it. I'm going to surprise you. All right? That's on my way to the golf shop down a little ways from you. So I'm down there two or three times a week, the Golf Galaxy and down that way. I'll stop in and say
hello. Oh, you go to Golf Galaxy. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I bother them all the time. I'm looking for the Magic Club. I think I have it, and then I find out I don't have it, you know? So, but I'm having a good time. I started my grandson boxing. What a trip. He's 10 years
great.
Old.
How's he enjoying it?
Well, I find out that he can't handle the bag as well as he can handle the mitts. He's much, much better. Kids are better on the mitts than they are on the bag. The bag moves away from them, and they don't have the foot-hand-eye coordination yet. They're terrific on the mitts. So, and he's got a good right hand already. One lesson, he's throwing the left hook behind the right hand. So
Good.
He got him good. Well, that's an easy. It's easy to do with the mitts because, you know, he throws the right hand. He just comes back across his body, hits the mitt with the left hook. He's a good puncher already. I'm just trying to get him. You know, his father's got him into baseball, basketball, football. The kid is swamped. I said, you got to teach him how to box, too. So that's my job. I was appointed. And he's a very good listener, you know.
Oh, well, that's
very good listener.
The most important thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know. You know, I have friends that won't listen to anybody. They wouldn't listen to Albert Einstein. They think they know more than him. You know what I mean? I'm loaded. I'm surrounded by know-it-alls, guys. You know? All right. I'll see you guys next week. All right, take care, guys.
Ty, you want to lead us out?
Oh, man, it's been a great show. It was wonderful talking to you. As usual, you, Butch, Brady, Zito, Dr. Chris. It was great having Captain John call in and miss hearing his voice. And it was great having Frankie Stillapone on, man. He's a great guy, and he's an example of what every police officer should be and what every police officer, I would hope, hopes to be. Bob is our co-pilot. We look forward to seeing everyone next week.
See?
I want to thank you guys, my Fighting Words family. I want to thank Ty. Congratulations again for his weightlifting second place award. I want to thank Frankie Philippone. I want to thank Captain John. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob. And if anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call.
Brady?
I just want to thank my Fighting Words family. Ty, Zito, Frankie, Butch, Captain John. Did I miss anyone? I didn't miss anyone, right?
I don't think so.
All right. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, just give them a simple nod, a handshake. The best thing you can ever say to them is, stay safe, my brother. These programs are also dedicated to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Culcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yaswitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogo, Longo Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Sergeant Robert Wilson, Philadelphia Police Department, Louisiana Trooper Steve Vincent, Harris County Deputy Sheriff Darrell Goforth, Prince William County Deputy Ashley Gidden, Eustis, Texas Patrol Officer David Heffer, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, and my brothers and sisters who have lost their lives that we haven't been able to get all their names from Dallas and around the country. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, but sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields, and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night. God bless.
Shemalek ma'ilama, shemahezahilma, sona shenevorat fed, hakuig again ma'ilma.
Shema Hezahilma, Shema Hezahilma.
fiery blade engaged to lead. He'd break the bravest in the
Okay, Bob. We love you and we miss you.